We are continuing our series on You Don't Have to Sin. Isn't that something? And isn't that good news? You don't have to sin. Subtitle, you can always be obedient. Sometimes I wonder, I thank God for just going over that title over and over and over again, because sometimes I wonder, do we really believe that? You can always, I can always be obedient. You know, just because of the fact that we aren't obedient doesn't mean that we can't be obedient. Okay? Just because we aren't obedient don't mean that we can't be obedient. We can always be obedient. Amen. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 and find out why. Romans chapter 6, we won't read all of it, but we'll kind of just go through it just to remind us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll go through it just to remind us. Romans chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Glory be to God. You can always be obedient. This is why. What shall we say then? And we talked about sinning just to produce the grace of God, a ridiculous theology, ridiculous religion. What shall we say to that mess? Are we to continue sinning on purpose, living in sin, having a relationship with sin that grace may abound? By no means. May it never be. Perish the thought. Don't even think about it. How can we, who have died to sin, still live in it? Go down to verse 4. We were buried with him. In the verse 4, that we may walk in newness of life. Go down to verse 6. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal bodies. Verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Meaning, if he tells you to don't do that, then guess what? You can not do that. You have the power to not do that. That sounds like you don't have to sin. That sounds like you can be obedient. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under law but under grace. Verse 16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? So when you choose to obey sin, you're making it your master. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that we who were once, past tense, slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, we become slaves of righteousness. Verse 19, middle of the verse, for just as you were once presented, for as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity, you once did that in the past. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin, have become slaves of God, for the wages of sin is death. So you can see why we've entitled verses 2 all the way down the God's Emancipation Proclamation. God is proclaiming that we've been emancipated from the master that is sin. It is no longer our master. We've been set free. How often did he say, haven't been free from sin? You were once slaves of righteousness and things of that nature. I mean, slaves of sin. Over and over and over and over, all in one chapter, to get us to understand we don't have to sin. We began to go into this and we began to exegete this, and we talked about that the word continue means habitual persistence. It means to be dependent upon. And it also means to have a relationship with, a cordial relationship, like sin was our buddy. Sin was my homie. You know, we cool, you got your arm around sin, sin got his arm around you. And we just had, so that word continue has an idea of having a cordial relationship in which we were fully yielded to sin. Sin said, come on, let's go and do this. You're like, yeah, man, that sounds good. Well, come on, let's do this. Why don't we smoke this? Why don't we drink that? Why don't we just treat that human being who's a female, treat her like just object, like an object, like you would a chair or a piece of wood. Come on. Yeah, man, that sounds good. We're buddy-buddy. We developed a habit of yielding to sin. It's an intentional, willful sinning as an established pattern of life. That's how we used to be. Sin was our master. It ran things. That's why we go through this again. To realize that's who we were. That's what we did. Unfortunately, for many of God's children, we still live not to that excess or to that degree, but we still yield it. We still yield too often. And that's why we got to keep reminding ourselves of the fact that sin ought to decrease in our life, where we're yielding less and less and less. And if you're if sin is frequently being decreased, then what's being increased? Righteousness. I wouldn't want God's job ever, sort of say. Because just one of us is a handful, let alone millions, and eventually billions going to be in heaven. But he's so patient. The Holy Spirit is so patient. He's grieved. He's grieved, not the Holy Spirit. He's quenched. We snuff him out, and he stays right. Yes, thank you, Lord, is right. You don't say, you know what? I done told this fool 25 times. Don't go over there. Don't listen to that. Don't watch that. Don't smoke that. Don't drink that. Don't think that. Don't think that. Don't think that. We really, really fight us with that. Don't think that. Don't think that. And we just grieve him. We quench him. We grieve him. We quench him. And quench him and we grieve him. And did I mention that we quenched him? Yeah. What about grieve him? Did I mention that? Mm-hmm. And he stays right there. Not only just, not like this. I gotta stay here because we didn't promise. No. Still arm around, counseling, coaching, teaching, guiding, leading, directing. My. Just let that marinate for a moment. Just how patient he is with us. Even though we've been set free. He still just, there he is. And not grudgingly, well, I've got to stay with them because, no, the promises that I'm supposed to never leave them nor forsake them. No, lovingly, willingly, compassionately, mercifully, hallelujah, graciously, he's there. Just friendly and welcoming, but he will bite you when he needs to. The most perfect friend. Uh-oh, that stick is closer than a brother. Yeah. Isn't that what the word of God says? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another comforter. Yes. Parakletos. Remember that one? Called alongside to help you. Lord. It's personal help. Lord. Called alongside. Alongside. Kletos, helper. He's the one who's called alongside to help. What is that intimate? That he is personal. Amen. I'm right there on the side, right there with you. I got my arm around you. You don't want to be pulling away. Like Tiger be knowing me.
Is Tiger here today?
That's how Tiger do me. That's how we do the Holy Spirit. Because we made a decision in our mind, I'm going to do this wrong. I know the preacher said go to aisle 9, but man, she's looking kind of good. I'm going to go to aisle 1, right where she is. Next thing you know, you dealing with boiling rabbits. All because you didn't go down there. And you know, we laugh at that, but you know good and well, it just don't take a moment. Yes. That's all it takes.
Yes.
All it takes is one moment. I still give you the homework assignment. You should periodically watch Saving Private Ryan first half hour. Because you know in that scene, all it took was a moment to get your head blown off. Get yourself dismembered. In the spirit realm, we have no idea what all is going on, even right now. You think Satan wants this service to go forward where we're teaching the word of God? No. God graces us every single Sunday and Wednesday, of course, all the days too, to just bring these services. We have no idea what has to happen in the spirit realm for this service to go off. Because if demons had their way, building be burned down, folk would have cancer or something. I'd be dead of the virus or whatever it is. Whatever it is to tear up the church, God is preventing it. Because you know Satan never wants it to go forward. Amen, Glenda Jean with a hand up. Amen. Every single, it's Ryan, every single Sunday and Wednesday in particular. Every single time, just to bring the service. We just driving, though, you know, just driving on through the thing. Got no idea. Can you imagine waving fella in the middle of Private Ryan? You're on the beaches of Omaha. It was so, the movie was so accurate that those who came to screen the movie who were actually on those beaches on that exact day, it was so real, they had to walk out. Some walked out crying. Some walked out with flashback to shaking the thing because it took them back there. We need that shakiness. We need that respect, if you will, for the kingdom of darkness and realize and gratitude for what God is doing to keep them off our backs because it's no goodness of our own. We don't even know they're even around there. We can't even see them. We have no idea. That's why the Lord has to remind us, greater, stronger, mightier is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a he that is in the world. And 1 Peter 5 lets us know that he's our enemy. He's our protagonist. He's our opponent. He's an adversary. He's opposed to everything we're doing. Whenever we counsel marriage couples who soon to be premarital counseling, we always tell them, you need to make sure. And I said, I don't mean to scare you, but I must warn you. As you get closer to your marriage date, you better believe all hell is coming at you. And you better lock in. And be vigilant and sober. Anytime you endeavor to do God's will, you're going to have hell coming against you. That's okay, because greater is he that is in you. Hell comes against this situation here every time we get together. Doesn't scare me, because I'm on the winning side. Jesus is the winner man.
Yes, he is.
Glory be to God. He's the winner man, the winner man, the winner man. I'm on the winning side. Glory be to God. That's a Caribbean-based song. Well, at least they made it sound like that. Jesus is the winner, man. So he says, may it never be, verse 2. Then I love the word how. This is still review. How, as in how is it possible, shall we who have died to sin. Now, what do we say death means for those who remember that from last week? Death means separation. We gave three examples. Physical death, that's why we got, it's good to repeat. Physical death is separation of soul from a spirit from the body, right? We walk through that. When the spirit, God calls that spirit out of that body, that body slumps to the ground. You are the spirit. Body slumps to the ground, like taking off a jacket. Spiritual death is separation of man's spirit from God. So it's like if there was an AT&T telephone line between God and man connecting us. Sin cut that off. And now there's a separation. So death ought to deal with separation. When it says here that we have died to sin, it means that we've been separated from our sin nature, also known as the flesh. Okay? Died to sin means we've been separated. Now, we used these words last time that death means that the power, the control, the influence, the authority, the supremacy, the rule has been broken. Do we understand that? So again, death means that the power, the control, the influence, the authority, the supremacy, the rule of sin has been broken. You need to get you a piece of paper this big and just put it on your wall so you can see it every morning, every night. The power of sin, the control of sin, the influence of sin, the authority of sin, the supremacy of sin, the rule of sin has been broken. I'm talking about a place of shout. We need to run all over, whether it be Willow Run or Nipsey, all over In Town, throughout Garden City, Romulus. We need to run, just shout and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The rule, the power, the authority of sin has been broken. That's what the death. I prayed to the Lord yesterday. I was studying this, and this morning I was thinking, meditating it. Lord, help us to really get what the death of Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension of Jesus really is about. I said, Lord, I know these verses got an inkling, but I know I don't have it like I need to. This is major. Sin is so raw, you know. Yeah, and it's so violent. It's a despot. It's a dictator. Man, do this. And it's always something destructive. It's always something that's going to tear somebody else up, including yourself. Sin is not nice. Glory be to God. It is powerful. And it is control. It took the death. It took the blood of Jesus to break the power of sin in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to put a word right in here. Indwelling. Well, close enough. But indwelling sin. Because, and the reason I want to add that is because of the fact that it was in us like living there. Just had kicked his feet up. Had a room. Then another room. Then, well, you know, actually had the whole house from the rip, really. Because we were born with him in complete control. We were born with him in complete control. It was in every room of our house. Knowing us, our lives is our house. And it took something supernatural to break the power, the authority, the control. It took something supernatural. That was the blood of Jesus. Oh, we need to kiss the Son. Psalm 2. Need to pay homage to him. We just need to just pay homage to him. The old saints, you just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. I grew up in Apostolic Church. That was their mantra. Thank you, Jesus. Whether they fully understood it or not, but they knew to thank Jesus some kind of way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that the power of sin has been broken in my life. That's what salvation means, y'all. I'm no longer a slave to sin. It no longer has the power over me, or the influence, or the control, or the authority, or the supremacy, or the rule. It's been broken by the blood of Jesus. We're in that, and so all of this means we are now dead to sin. So verse 2 says, how? How is it possible that us who have died to sin live any longer therein? How shall we still live in it? How? How in the world? How is that possible? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we did warn, and I need to read it again, that the fact that the power of sin has been broken does not mean that the sin nature has been taken out of us completely. You remember that? Yeah. Okay, it's still there. It has been left in our inward man, or our inner man. It remains there. And it will be there throughout our earthly life. It will not be destroyed completely or eradicated, if you will, until the Christian dies or is glorified. Like Enoch, just take him up. That would be something. Amen. I remember that one. Yes, sir. Bloop, you're gone. I just gonna snatch him up. I can't wait for the rapture. I'm gonna rapture him now. Can you imagine Enoch just, he was there and then he was not? Excuse me. But that's not the case for us. So let's go to 1 John 1:8 as a reminder. 1 John, no, you don't have to turn it. We'll just read it. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, meaning the sin nature, not acts of sin, we deceive ourselves. We have a sin nature. It's still there and the truth is not in us. Romans 7. You're Romans. Go to chapter 7. You're the next chapter over. Romans 7, 17, the great apostle Paul speaking by the divine permission of the Holy Spirit under his auspices, if you will. 7:17, Romans 7, 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Then he corrects it. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, comma, that is in my flesh. See, we still got it. That evil nature, the sin nature, known as flesh, is still there. Yes, it is. And unfortunately, that's where sin dwells. Sin doesn't dwell in you, it dwells in the flesh. Yes. That's why Apostle Paul made the distinction in verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Because in us, a lot of good dwells in us. Where? What's in us? The love of God has been shed abroad. The word of God is there. The Holy Spirit dwells there. So it's a lot of good in the real us. That's why Apostle Paul, that is in my flesh, dwells nothing good. And that's why the teaching went for the destructive effects of fleshly rule. Because when your flesh is ruling where nothing good is dwelling, yeah, nothing good is going to happen on that. That's why you don't go into a room and the Lord says, don't go in there, because you're going to hear something. And what you hear is going to make you so angry that you are going to kill your wife and choke her to death unless I supernaturally intervene. God knows our limits. Don't go in there. Don't look over there. Don't smell that. Don't hear that. Don't think that. He knows. He's always coaching. He knows us. Way better than we'll ever know ourselves. We just need to obey him. Because of verse 18, in our flesh, there was no good thing. And you know good and well, you can hear something and immediately your flesh is on the throne, period. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 2 again. It says, by no means. How can we who have died to sin? Did we talk about the tense of that verb? The tense of that verb is aorist. And That tense, aorist, A-O-R-I-S-T. The aorist tense means that it is a once for all act. Once for all. Glory be to God. Once for all. And so when you talk about once for all, it means it's a one-time act. One-time act. So when you think about it, it's not something that he's doing over and over and over and over. It's a once and for all. So when you think about the physical, the separation from us, who's now alive and born again, from our sin nature. Remember we talked about the surgical knife that God. Did we talk about that last time? Oh, okay. I like that analogy. Okay, so let me slow down. So again, we've died to sin. That means that we've been separated from our sin nature, our sinful nature called the flesh. This separation is once and for all, is permanent. And that's why I want you to understand this once and for all in the Greek tense aorist means that it is permanent. It is permanent. Period. Permanent. We need to understand that. And that means that we've been permanently, I love this phrasing here, disengaged from our evil nature, known as the flesh. Now that's good, isn't it? Permanently disengaged, separated from our evil nature / flesh. Permanently. It's not temporary. Glory be to God. The commentator, I love it. God used his surgical knife to cut the believing sinner loose from their evil nature. Yes, a hand ought to go up and a few feet and everything else. Hallelujah. Glenda J. did. Amen. God used his surgical knife and just sloop it. Cut us loose from my evil nature. The commentator goes on to say, this surgical operation is never repeated. Why? Because it's permanent. It's once and for all. So far as God is concerned, he has so thoroughly done his work that the separation is permanent. God is a great surgeon. Ain't no oops, I cut too deep. Cut the wrong thing. That's not the flesh, that's his heart. Oops. No. God is like, perfect cut, down the middle, confident. He's a great surgeon. He says, you know what? I've done that so thoroughly and it never gonna need to be repeated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ain't no return trips to the hospital to get it right. Hallelujah. This is permanent. Oh, we need to really hear this, Father God. Help us to hear it. It's a once for all thing. Why? Remember? So how can we who have died to sin, meaning been permanently separated from sin, be buddied up to it again like we used to? How is that possible? Can y'all see that? Ah, thank you, Jesus. Now, always a warning, because of our sin nature living there, Christians, from time to time, we do yield to our sinful nature. We talked about it, and we do sin. And that's why we have 1 John 2:1. My brothers, my dear children, I write these things so that you sin not. That's the goal, comma, but he's merciful, But if you do sin, we have an advocate, a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for still going on to the Father on our behalf, even though we have failed you time and time. I need to play, Lord, make me over. We failed you time and time and time and time again. Aren't you tired of the same thing at the same place at the same time when we're ready for change, Lord? He still defends us. Wow. And then, I love this comment. Then the commentator says, but the point is, comma, God has so created, and I added, established and formed us that we need not do so, meaning give in to the sin nature. We don't need to do that. Oh, that sounds a lot like we don't have to sin. We don't need to do that. We choose to do it. We just talked about it, that it is a permanent, once for all action. And what's permanent? The fact that the power and the control and the influence and the authority and the supremacy and the rule of sin once and for all has been permanently broken. So we don't have to sin. Does that make sense? We need not do so. I know you can't see it back there. I got to highlight it. It's in blue. It's in green. Highlight every capital letters about this big. You need not do so. That's the title of the message. You don't have to sin. It's us choosing. I had enough of this. I've had enough of this. Doggone it. I done put up with this fool for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, really? God has put up with you for 20 years? You get 5 minutes? Wow. The true story. I taught in a real rough situation. In Highland Park, my school, I know you heard this before, bear with me. My little classroom was the last stop before jail. They had been kicked out of all Detroit public schools. Let that marinate. Detroit public schools. Been kicked out of all of them. Couldn't go to not one Detroit public school. They created my job to give those kicked out of schools one last chance before jail. So you can imagine who was in my classroom. I had some roughnecks in there. They were crude. They were unmannerly. It was a good test of loving, seemingly unlovable, because they didn't really care about it. Some of them did, some of them didn't. I had a girl in there who beat up a man, a grown man. It was over the weekend. She beat it because she came. She had a bandage right here and had a cast on her left arm. I was like, what happened? So I beat this guy up, Mr. Harris, I beat him up. She kind of talked like that, scratchy voice. I beat him up, Mr. Harris. And he had to go get a cane. So he went back and got a bamboo cane made out of wooden bamboo. And he came to beat her up with the cane. But she's so tough, he went to hit her, you know, to swing down on her. And she held her arm up to block it. And the blow broke her arm. And he went again, and she had her arm up again. So it broke her arm in two places. And so the third time, she couldn't get the arm up, and then he caught her here, and she had stitches in there. And that's why her arm was broken. That's the kind of rough, I had a rough, rough group. And this one particular person, young man, was just really rude and unmannerly. And I went to the boss January, went to the boss in February, went to the boss in March, went to the boss in April, Savannah's. May comes along 5 months later, and the boss says, you know, I'm going to come in and speak to your class for a moment, trying to, you know, just give a word of encouragement over this, that, and the other. And he steps in, and my man was doing his thing, you know, the student being disrespectful and everything. And literally 5 minutes. I'm there for 5 months. 5 minutes. They kick that guy out the program, escort him to the door, and kick him out of the program. 5 minutes? I've been coming to you on this dude for 5 months. You see him for 5 minutes and kick him out the program? But you tell me, what you gonna do with it? Nobody try to stand in there, you know, the last chance. So we need to be merciful. and realize that God's been dealing with us for more than 5 months. It's been more than 5 years. Some of us who have been saved for many years, he's been dealing with us for 30 years, 40 years. We need to be merciful. We need to be merciful. We need to be patient because God has been patient with us. Even though we don't have to sin, we do sin. Even though we don't have to, we can always be obedient. He is still merciful when we aren't.
Yes, he is. Thank you,
Lord. Even though we've been permanently, the rule has been broken. The control has been broken permanently. And yet he still does not leave us nor forsake us. Let help us not to take advantage of that, Father God. Yeah, we may sin, but we don't have to. I love how the comment says, but the point is, that's the point. The point is that God has created us and established us and formed us so that we don't have to do those things. We have his nature. We have his power. We have his word. Glory be to God. We don't have to do that. We have his nature, right? 2 Peter 1:4. We'll go over that later. But 2 Peter 1:4, we have his nature. We're partakers, sharers of his divine nature. And in addition to that, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to take up permanent residence. Another word again, to take up permanent residence in us. Not only do we have his nature, we permanently have the Holy Spirit living in us. He's not a visitor. Oh, I got to go. I got a person over in Istanbul that I got to go and deal with. I'll be back with you on the weekend. He's always there. He's called alongside, Parakletos. He's always on your side.
Thank you, Lord.
He's always counseling. He's always guiding. He's not asleep. He's not, man, oh, man, my bad. I fell asleep, man. Man, you in here? How you get in here? Well, get the rabbits out the pot. What happened to you, man? I fell asleep. He's always there. Are you back in Romans 6?
Yeah.
Look at verse 2 again. By no means, how can we who have died to sin still live in it? Still live in it. In other words, how is it possible to habitually, I love the commentator says, how is it possible to habitually sustain the same relationship with our evil nature, known as flesh, that we once sustained before God saved us? How is that even possible? How are you going to put your arm back around sin and be cordial in your relationship as if he's not saved? How is that even possible? I love the illustration here. He said the Christian has the same power over their flesh as they have over their radio. Now, this commentator was obviously back before TV, and what we would say radio, TV, now internet. When a program suddenly comes over the air, unfit for Christian ears, they can shut the radio off, TV or internet. Mm-hmm. And with a there, you cannot bring that smut into my life. We can't. Just so we say, okay, we're not gonna do that. Turn it off. That's how much power. I love that. You can do the same thing with when your nature tries to rise up. He says, you have just as much power over your evil nature as you do over your radio, over your TV, over your computer.
Thank you, Lord.
Before salvation, the evil nature had absolute dominion over the sinner. Romans 6 talks about that. Before we were saved. Since we've been saved, we have absolute dominion over sin. Before sin was dominating. Before sin had the power, the control, the influence, the authority, the supremacy, and the rule. But once we were saved, that's been broken. And now we dominate sin, at least we're supposed to. Now here's the part I want to love this phrasing here. He said the evil nature is a dethroned monarch. The evil nature is a dethroned monarch. Dethroned monarch. Dethroned. It's no longer on the throne. It's been dethroned.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, Paul personifies sin as a king reigning as sin has reigned as king. Look at Romans 5, one chapter over. Look at verse 21. Look at Romans 5, verse 21. So that as sin reigned as king in death, grace also might reign as king through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Go to Romans chapter 6, right next chapter over, verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign as king in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Sin is a dethroned monarch. It once ruled as king in our mortal bodies. It was on the throne and it was sitting there like a big dog. Big old juicy crown. Sitting there, flowing robe. Comfortable. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit, at the time of the sinner's salvation, enthroned the Lord Jesus in the throne room of the believer's heart. Amen. 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 So it's like this. Sin is sitting there, boom, chilling. We get saved. The Holy Spirit, come on up in there, Jesus. You know, poof, kicks in about to take your place. Bow. And now Jesus sitting on the throne room. Directing us through his spirit, the Holy Spirit. Are you getting the picture? The Lord Jesus stays on the throne room, as long as the believer stays yielded to the Spirit. And rejects the commands, the dictates, the desires of their evil nature, the flesh. Does that make sense? So as long as we're yielded to the Lord God Almighty, yielded to the Holy Spirit, and we obey the Holy Spirit, yielded don't mean, you know, yielded means obedience. Just let you know that. As long as we're obeying the Spirit of the living God, Jesus stays on the throne. Look at Galatians. Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter, I'm going to say it again. The Lord Jesus stays on the throne so long as the believer stays yielded to the Spirit and rejects the commands. You know me, I love synonyms, comma, the dictates, the desires of the evil nature / flesh. Glory be to God. He stays on the throne. Do I need to repeat that? We got it? Again, the Lord Jesus stays on the throne so long as the believer stays yielded to the Spirit and rejects the commands, comma, the dictates, comma, the desires of the evil nature / the flesh. Period. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk, which means to order your life, thought, word, and actions by the Spirit. Order your words, I mean your thinking, your words and your life, order them under the control and yield them to the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see that? That verse just talks about that. That's how the Lord Jesus stays on the throne. As long as we obey Galatians 5:16 and we order our life according to the flesh, according to the Spirit, Jesus stays on the throne.
Yes, Lord.
Makana. When the believer sins, the dethroned king, comma, the evil nature, right? The one that just been kicked off the throne. He then mounts to the throne with the consequent dethronement of the Lord Jesus. So the sin, who was kicked, first kicked to the side. When you start sinning, then here comes flesh back up in the throne room, and he removes Jesus off the throne and sits back on the throne. He dethrones Jesus, and he's now, that's what we're talking, destructive flex of fleshly rule, because your flesh is now ruling again. And unfortunately, you've allowing him to have the control and the power and the influence and authority and the supremacy and the rule. You put him back on the throne. Yes. And by the way, he didn't just bogart his way. No, you willingly allowed him. Yeah. Because you chose, because I chose, because we chose not to continue to walk in the Spirit. Right. So when the believer sins, the dethroned king, which is our evil nature, he mounts to the throne with the consequent dethronement of the Lord Jesus. Meaning that what the natural consequence of kicking Jesus out, because there's no two kings. You'll either serve the one or the other. You can't serve both. Amen. So either Jesus is on the throne or flesh is on the throne. And we were commanded in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin reign as king in your mortal bodies. Oh, wait a minute. Why does he have to command that? Because we can let it reign as king. Right. Right? It doesn't have to, but if we yield to the flesh, it's reigning as king. Yes, and then that's kick Jesus off the throne. Does that make sense, Verdelay? All right, let's go back to Romans 6 as we get ready to close. Romans 6, verse 2 again. By no means, how can we who died to sin, been separated from sin, the power of sin, been broken in our lives, still live in it, be buddy-buddy with it, have a relationship with it habitually? Or verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. Baptized. Baptized means, hold on, let's see. Baptized means inward union. Inward union. Participation. Inward union. Participation. That's what baptized means. It means that we're united with him. And we participate with him. So when it says, knowing that all of you have been baptized or who are united into Christ, we participated in his death. So what God done in eternity past, he symbolically, spiritually speaking, placed us in the body of Jesus. So when Jesus hung on the cross, we were there hanging on the cross. We participated because we're united with Christ Jesus. And the point is that when that we were baptized into his death, and at the note here has, as he died to sin, so we died to sin, just as if we were literally members of his body. That's the point. When he died, remember, he died for sin. When he died on the cross to sin, we symbolically died to sin with him. Do we get that? Because we're united with him. And we participated with him. Did that just marinate for a moment? Before the foundation of the world. He saw Alfred Fuller Horton Jr. before the foundation of the world. And he placed him inside the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. and Chris and Linda and Word of Lifers. Put them in there.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So when my son dies, I count you as having died to sin as well. Now act like it. Does that make sense? Is that unreasonable for the Lord God to demand that of us?
Not at all.
Or to expect that of us? No. You've been united with him. And you participate. I count you participating as if you were literal members of his body. He died to sin. You died to sin. And remember death again. Remember death again means to be broke. That you, the power and all that has been broken. Separation. And separation means that the power, the control, the influence, authority, the supremacy, and the rule of indwelling when installing sin, Lord have mercy, has been broken. That's good news.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Father.
We're getting all behind the scenes of why we don't have to sin. All behind the scenes. So we didn't go over all this deep like this. This is all behind the scenes. Wow, I really, when I sin, I just choose. So there's really no excuse. I don't care how fine he is, she is, how much money you're going to make with the little lie. We choose to sin because we see benefit in us. It's the big three. Love not the world, neither the things that are involved in the world. Is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and whatever your flesh or eyes desire, and you go get it, pride in owning what you lied or sinned to get. In Eve's case, it was wisdom. Our case, it may be money. Maybe gratification after this person or that person or status or whatever it is. It's going to start with the lust of the flesh, stuff your flesh desires, stuff your eyes saw and want, and then pride in possessing whatever your eyes or your flesh want or saw. That's all it is. I am going to do this because I want it. And even though I'm saved and I don't have to go after it, I don't care that God is being dishonored and that he's not being glorified. I don't care because I want what I want. I do's what I want. Do's, D-O-O-Z-E, do's what I want. Father God, help us to never do's what we want, ever. Help us to keep Jesus on the throne. Help us to keep our nasty, rotten, filthy, sinful nature boxed up where it belongs. Help us to never let it out of the room that it may find the throne room and kick Jesus off the throne and take its seat. Help us to never let that happen. And I can pray that, Father, because we don't have to sin.
Amen.
We can always be obedient.
Thank you for breaking the power.
Thank you for breaking the power of sin. Thank you for breaking the power of sin, meaning that you broke the power, the control, the influence, the authority, the supremacy, and the rule of indwelling sin. I thank you that it has been broken by your blood, and I thank you that this is a once-for-all permanent action. We can say sin is a dethroned monarch. Thank you, Father. And I thank you for allowing us to participate inwardly, that we've been united inwardly and participated in the cross and the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he has died to sin, so we too have died to sin as if we were members of his body. What mercy. What mercy.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, my Lord and my God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.